Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 8 through 12. Then I'll pray. The choir is going to sing, so I'm going to move out there and so that they've got a little bit of room, and I'm going to come back and preach to you this morning. And I want you to listen carefully. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 8 through 12. Let's read this passage responsively this morning. Philippians 3, verses 8 through 12. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And let's finish on verse 12. Ready? Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And let's pray. Father, we need you this morning. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you how clear it is. Lord, I thank you that you gave it to us exactly as you wanted us to have it. I pray that you just use this morning's sermon. Lord, please, would you touch my lips? May I say that which should be said and leave unsaid that which should not. May I be filled with your Holy Spirit's power to do that which needs done for you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, I hate to do this, but I got to take my coat off. I'm about to die. If you knew how hot I was about to get, you'd know why. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, that I may know him, listen to this, and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. Brother June, we might need to shut that door most of the way. We don't have to close it all the way, but most of the way, if you'll help me with that. This morning, I want to, of course, being Easter, we reflect on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is an event that the whole world uses as a standard. We use it as a standard for our calendars and for faith. And by the way, you have people who try to deny it. You have people who try to explain it away. But there's way too much evidence to prove that Jesus did die and that he did resurrect. Amen. It's not a matter of what some people just religiously wrote down as a fable that people have come to accept. We have infallible proofs. Now, first of all, Jesus did die. He was nailed to a cross. Jesus' death is the most documented death in history. You have to understand something. Over almost 2,000 years later, people are still talking about it.
That's right.
It is the most documented death in history. It was a public death. It was a public execution that was witnessed by thousands of people. It was not some little... by the way, again, don't take what Hollywood shows you on television and take it as the way it was, where there was few people walking around following Jesus up the hill and may have been a few 50 or 60 or 100 people. There were thousands and thousands and thousands, maybe as much as tens of thousands of people that actually participated and watched it take place. It was a very public thing. Now, his resurrection was equally witnessed, and he was seen by tens of thousands of people after the resurrection. All right? Now, we're going to get into this in just a moment. By the way, his tomb had been guarded by soldiers to prove that he conquered death. Now, men have tried for millenniums to explain it away. They've tried to find dead artifacts and tried to say, well, we have DNA proof, the Shroud of Turin. Number one, there was no Shroud of Turin. That's not Jesus, just so you know. You say, well, they believe. Who are they? Those are the same people that believe that nothing exploded into something to give us the world, that once it cooled down, after it heated and cooled and heated and cooled, a single cell organism came from nothing that exploded, and that thing got tired of itself, so it decided to have another one and another one and another one. Then it grew fins, and then it started breathing air because it got tired of being under the water, and then it became a scientist. Amen?
Amen.
Those are the same people that tell you those things, just so you know. Now, he conquered death. There are no facts, artifacts, so to speak. We don't have his cross. You can't go to the Vatican and find a piece of the cross. You can't go and you can walk into his tomb. They've done all kinds of studies into the tomb they think Jesus was in, and they'll tell you there's never been death recorded in that tomb. Say why? Because his body didn't decompose. Amen. He hadn't been dead long enough for it to start breaking down. Man tries to explain it away with human reasoning. But it was Jesus, God, paying man's sin debt. But it didn't just stop at the cross. If Jesus would have just died at Calvary, it wasn't enough for our salvation. It took the resurrection as well as the death.
Amen.
I'll say this a little later, and I'm not against these things, but instead of wearing crosses around our people's necks, I think they ought to wear an empty tomb.
Yep.
It wasn't just the death. It was the death, the burial, and the resurrection.
Amen.
The death by itself wasn't enough. He had to conquer death for it to all be paid. Amen. Yeah. And we'll get into that in just a second here. But man still fights this because man can't reproduce it. It wasn't man that did it. It was God.
That's right.
This is all a part of God wanting man back because of our sin that had separated us. Now, I love this passage of scripture in Philippians chapter 3. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. God tells us not only that we can know Jesus, but listen to this. He also tells us we can know the very power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. That's more power than Congress. That doesn't take much. That's more power than the Supreme Court. That's more power than the president. That's more power than any nuclear bomb. That's more power than all of the world's forces put together, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What kind of power did it take to resurrect Jesus from the dead? What kind of power did it take for all that took place around the resurrection that most people don't even know about? Can I tell you something? God tells us we can know him and the power that it took.
Amen.
Not just know about it, we can actually have that same power. Now, may I say this, it's only found in a relationship with him. It's not an intellectual stimulation.
Amen.
I'm not against intellectualism when it's about truth, but there's a lot of people that know a lot of facts that don't know much about life. I'm for knowing things. I'm not for ignorance, but may I say this, there's a lot of people that think they're smart that are pretty ignorant.
Amen.
Almost said another word I shouldn't say. Just add it to the list like last week. Now, let me say here, I'm going to give you 10 infallible proofs very quickly about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. All right. Number one, Jesus was tortured and nailed to a cross. That is not just recorded in the Bible. It's recorded throughout many historians. You can look up a man named Josephus. Josephus was a unsaved, ungodly historian around the time of Jesus. Josephus himself witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus and writes about it in the works of Josephus. You can go through many other historians that wrote history down in those days, and those things are actually recorded. I was reading a news article this week, and they were saying, well, people were saying that the Romans would not have publicly done this. That's not true. They don't know their Roman history. It was very much so because of the politicalness of this, that it would have been public, and it was public, in an effort to put down the growing Christianity movement against the Roman government. They were trying to thwart this. They weren't trying to hide it. So he was tortured and nailed to a cross. He was pierced with a sword that went through his heart. Can I tell you something? If somebody sticks you in the heart, and to the point where your heart explodes and water and blood come out, you're not going into a swoon and didn't die.
Right.
The liberals will tell you, well, he didn't really die. He just passed out for 3 days and three nights.
Yeah, right.
Well, if you passed out with your heart exploded and it quit working for 3 days and three nights, I don't call that a swoon.
That's right.
All right? I call that loony. All right? His heart was pierced with a sword that went in through the fifth rib, which is right in the center of the heart. The water sac around his heart had exploded, which meant his heart did not work any longer. Now, number three, he was wrapped and placed in a tomb, and the tomb was sealed. Now, they rolled a stone in front of this tomb, but I also want you to notice something. It was more than just a stone that was rolled in front of it. The Bible says that that tomb was sealed. When you seal it, you make it what? Airtight. Even if he was not alive, if he were alive, 3 days and three nights with no air in a cave, you're going to die. He would have suffocated, if nothing else, because that tomb was sealed. Just so you know. Then, next, his tomb was guarded by a minimum of 70 soldiers. There's a little known fact about this. Some say it could have been as much as 170 soldiers. We know that at least 70 soldiers were on watch 24 hours a day for the 3 days and three nights that he was in that tomb. I hate to tell you something, but somebody didn't sneak in around 70 soldiers and steal his body out of there. I'll guarantee you, some of them may have been sleeping, but not all 70 at one time. So there were 70 soldiers guarding a sealed tomb after he had been killed and tortured. Number five, when he died, I love this, many other Old Testament saints in their graves sat up. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 22. You wonder why when Jesus died, one of the soldiers said, truly, this was the Son of God. Let me see here. Maybe I don't have the right verse here, but hang on here. Maybe it's not chapter 22, but I'll get there. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 27. I wrote the wrong verse down. Look at verse number 52. Skip back to verse 51. And behold, verse 50, and Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Okay, everybody look at me. What does that mean? He died. His spirit died. He gave up his spirit, which means he died. And behold, the veil of the temple rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Watch this. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now look at me. When Jesus died, the moment he died, there was a great earthquake. Bible says that the rocks were tearing in pieces, and that meant that the graves were opened of people that were saved, and those that had been in those graves that had been saved, the Bible says that they rose up in the grave. Mm-hmm. Now, that's enough to make you believe something happened.
That's right.
Now, hang on to that thought, because something else happened later with those. Just look at me for a second here. So, many of the Old Testament saints that had died sat up in their graves when Jesus died. Then, at his resurrection, not only did Jesus come out of the grave, but those people that were sitting up in those graves walked into Jerusalem with Jesus. Look at verse 53. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now watch this. Now when the centurion that And they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things which were done, and they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God.
Don't you think if you went by Rosedale Cemetery today and all of the graves were opened up and people that were buried there walked into church this morning, that you'd believe something happened?
Yes, sir.
That's exactly what took place here in Jerusalem at the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It wasn't just that one body resurrected. He resurrected them all.
Amen.
He was setting captivity free. He had gone to the center of the earth, to Abraham's bosom, spent 3 days, 3 nights there. And when he resurrected, watch this, he brought them with him and took them to heaven. Now watch this. I love this. The Bible says that they were seen by many. It wasn't just something recorded in the Bible. It was seen by many. It was recorded by many. Number next, I got to hurry. Jesus' sealed and guarded tomb had a stone rolled away, and the grave clothes were folded inside. Somebody didn't steal the body. If you were going to steal something, do you think you'd take the time to unwrap a body and then fold everything back up? With at least 70 soldiers sitting out there? Now, I don't know much about stealing because I don't believe in stealing anything. But if I was going to steal something, I'm dead sure not going to take time to spend any more time there than I need to. Number 8, Jesus was seen by thousands for 40 days after his resurrection. The Bible says that he had been seen by thousands and thousands and thousands of people for the next 40 days after the resurrection. I got to hurry here. Number 9, he ate with people and talked with people after the resurrection. He actually sat down and ate food with them and drank water with them and drank juice with them. He actually fellowshipped with them. He continued to live as a human would live after the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And number 10, thousands recorded his death, his burial, and the resurrection. Now, we don't need to prove again that it happened. If it were a lie, it would not have been documented so well.
Amen.
It would not be documented by so many people over such a broad span of people that it would have taken place. Now, so, and by the way, if it were a lie, it wouldn't be a lie that lasted 2,000 years. Now, I want you to notice something. God tells us that we can know the power of that same resurrection. God says that we may know him and the power of his resurrection. Let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you like to know about that power? Wouldn't you like to know him and get to know that power? I'll show you what this power is and what it can do. Number one, the power of Jesus' resurrection put down all false gods. The power of Jesus' resurrection has enough power to put down all of the false gods of this world, past, present, and future. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to use just a few more verses today, so just be patient with me here. I can quote them, but I'd rather you see them so that you know it's not my words. Romans chapter 1, look at verse number 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Proof that Jesus was God, he was resurrected from the dead. Look at verse number 20. Same chapter, Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, watch this, into an image made like to corruptible man to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things, whereof God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Can I tell you something? We now have false gods because we make gods after what man wants, not what God is. Did you ever realize some of the silly things that people worship? Ethereal things. Things that aren't real. Greek mythology. I don't suggest studying it. It won't do you any good. It's worthless. But you think of some of the, you know, well, Zeus. And the he threw the stars. Can I tell you something? Zeus didn't throw anything. Zeus has no power. Zeus is not there. It's a made-up imagination thing. People worshipped rivers and frogs and bugs and birds and cows. I mean, you got the Hindus that believe in the holy cow, just like Harry Carey. Let's face it. They believe in reincarnation, that when you die, you come back as a creature. So you don't want to squash a bug, or you might be squashing grandma. Well, I killed somebody's grandma just the other day because there was bugs everywhere. Amen. Can I tell you something? You don't die and come back as another life form until you reached total karma. All right? It doesn't happen that way. We don't worship statues. We don't worship some big pot-belly Buddha sitting on a throne somewhere. We worship the true and living God. Man makes gods that look like man in creation. God doesn't look that way. God is not some created being. He is the Creator. God says that you worship the created more than the Creator. God wants us to worship the Creator. Amen. Now, no other God had the ability to conquer death. Can I tell you something? Allah did not conquer death. Muhammad did not conquer death. Buddha did not conquer death. He conquered his plate. The popes have not conquered death. No man has conquered death. No statue has ever conquered death. And by the way, nothing in nature has ever conquered death. That's right. Can I tell you something? Jesus is the only one that has conquered death. He died, he was buried, and he resurrected to never die again. You say, well, there were people in the Bible Jesus raised from the dead. Yeah, but they died again. None of them stayed alive forever, but Jesus did. Can I tell you something? You say, I don't think you ought to talk about Allah and Muhammad. Why? They're false gods.
That's right.
The Dalai Lama is a false god. Jesus proved his deity with the resurrection and overpowered all of the other gods. And please don't take this the wrong way, but just so you know, all the other false religions try to talk down what Jesus did.
That's right.
And may I just go ahead and say this? Mary didn't conquer death either. Mary was not translated to heaven without seeing death. They've made Mary bigger than and more powerful than Jesus, and that's a lie out of hell.
Amen.
Jesus, just like at the time of the Ark of the Covenant, when the Philistines stole it and they put it in the Temple of Dagon. I love that story. They put it in the Temple of Dagon, and they came back the next day, and Dagon had fallen over. So they put Dagon back up, and they came back the next day, and Dagon was falling on his face again with his hands and his feet off.
Amen.
You say, why? Because every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all.
Yep.
He was telling them, no statue in the world has any power like God has.
Amen.
Jesus proved that he was Jehovah God by the resurrection, and he is the only one to do it. Can I tell you something? I'll take Jesus over any of their false gods any day. Well, you Christians, you're just a bunch of weaklings that believe all these fables and lies. They're the ones believing the fables and lies, not me. So, number one, the power of Jesus' resurrection has the power to put down all false gods. Number two, I got to hurry. The resurrection puts down man's works for salvation. The power of the resurrection puts down our ability to work our way to heaven. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians. I was in Romans. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm about to shout. Somebody say amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I got to hurry here. Let's start reading in verse number 12. I'm going to read. You catch up with me here. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead? By the way, they were saying it 2,000 years ago. Yep, sure. Hasn't stopped for 2,000 years. They doubted it 2,000 years ago. They're not going to doubt it again. I want everybody to listen in this way. Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith also is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised, and if Christ be not raised, then your faith, which is vain, you are yet in your sins. Watch this. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Can I tell you something? If Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, even though he lived a sinless life, even though he shed his blood, and even though he died, if he didn't resurrect, we have no salvation. That's what 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12 through 20 is talking about. But because he did resurrect from the dead, we have the ability to be saved, and it's not by our own works. There's only two religions in this world. I don't care what label you put on it. There's the religion of you have to earn it and do something to get it, or Jesus paid for it and you receive it by faith. Amen. That's all there is. I don't care if you put the name Hindu, Shinto, Muslim, Islam. I don't care what name you put to it. Don't care if you put Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Babdecostal, you name it. It doesn't matter what name you put on it. Either Jesus did it all and you receive it by faith, or you have to earn it to get to it. And can I tell you something? Unless you had the ability to resurrect from the dead yourself, you are not saved by what you do.
Amen.
Man is trying to earn his own salvation. You don't get saved by going to church and getting baptized. You don't get saved by going through some, I think they call it catechism. These classes that last for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. You don't get saved by living a certain lifestyle. You don't get saved, and you say, well, I got saved, but you're not truly saved until you're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Folks, tongues are not for a sign of them believe, but them believe not. It's not a proof that you got saved. It was used to help other people get saved. It was like Brother Stoltz can speak Spanish to Spanish people, help see them get saved. That is the gift of tongues. By the way, it wasn't some heavenly language that nobody understood. If nobody understood it, the Bible says, what good is it? Now, it was not just his death that saves, but it was the applied blood on the mercy seat in heaven that saves. Let me show you something here. In the Old Testament, once a year, the high priest would take a sacrifice at Passover, he would cleanse himself, he would kill the lamb, he would take the blood in a bowl with a hyssop weed, he would walk through the courtyard, he would walk into the tabernacle, he'd walk through the holy place that had the table of showbread, had the golden candlestick, had the altar of incense where the saints were always ascending up to heaven. He would go underneath that veil, go into that square room called the Holy of Holies. He was only allowed in there one day a year for that one time only, or God would kill him.
That's right.
In that room was the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant had the mercy seat that sat on it with the cherubims that were on top of the mercy seat facing inward, looking at each other. One time a year, the high priest would take that blood for the sins of the people, sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat, come back out and raise his hand and say, it is finished. Watch this. At Calvary, Jesus died as our lamb.
Amen.
He paid the blood sacrifice. It was a perfect lamb without blemish. But watch this. When he came up out of the grave, he came up as our high priest.
Amen.
But wait a minute. It's not just his blood that was shed that was the important part. It's the blood applied to the mercy seat.
Amen.
In the Old Testament at Passover, if the Jews sacrificed the lamb as they should, but they didn't put the blood on the doorpost and lintels, the firstborn would have died.
That's right.
Even if they did everything else right, if they didn't apply the blood, death came. Now watch this. When Jesus resurrected and Martha saw him, and she said, Rabboni, and she went to touch him, he said, don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Say, what is that? From the time the high priest cleansed himself and took the sacrifice until he got to the Ark of the Covenant and applied the blood, if any human being touched him on the way, he had to start the process all over because he was considered unclean being touched by a sinner. If Martha would have touched him, he would have had to be born of a virgin again, lived a sinless life, die by Calvary again, resurrect, because he still had to get that blood applied on the mercy seat in the true tabernacle in heaven.
Amen.
For eternal salvation.
Yes, sir.
That's why he said, go tell my brethren, go tell the disciples, I'll meet you back here. Say, what did he do? He left here, went to heaven. He stood before God the Father, took his own blood with the open running wounds of his body and splashed his own blood on the mercy seat in the true tabernacle in heaven, according to the book of Hebrews.
Yes, sir.
He died as our lamb. He resurrected as our high priest, and he applied the blood on the mercy seat.
Amen.
Yes. This group sang just a little while ago, and it's still the blood that saves from sin. Say, what blood is it? That's why when the accuser of the brethren, old smutty face, comes up and says, Rich Stoltz has been a dirty, rotten, wicked, filthy, vile sinner this week. He was beating his wife. He was lying to his grandkids. He really didn't. He's out, got drunk again, grew his hair out long. All three of them. He'd been a bad sinner this week. Guess what? He may have been guilty of sin, but watch this. Standing there next to God the Father is Jesus Christ and said, Father, look there. There's my blood.
Amen.
I already paid for Brother Stoltz's sin.
Amen.
And God looks at the old devil and says, what sin? So all I see is the blood of Jesus. I see my son's righteousness added to his account. I don't see his sin anymore. That's why in the book of 1 John it says that his saved are not sinners. It doesn't mean that you don't sin. It means that it's been paid for and it's under the blood and God can't see it.
Amen.
Say, why is that? Because Jesus applied the blood to the mercy seat. By the way, that's what it would take for you to lose your salvation. You'd have to go to heaven and wipe that blood off. And guess what? If you got there, you're not coming back.
That's right.
You couldn't do it if you wanted to. You couldn't lose it if you wanted to. Say, why? Because once you're there, you're not coming back. God paid the price. Jesus paid that price as your lamb, as a sacrifice, but he also resurrected. These liberals that tell you that it's just the death of Jesus. No, it's not. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Oh, it's the shed blood. It's the shed blood, but it's also the applied blood. Not just the shed blood, it's the applied blood. Used to be a preacher out in California, John MacArthur. He's a heretic. He used to say, the blood of Jesus just trickled to the foot of the cross. It's not the blood, it's his death. No, it's not. It's the blood on the mercy seat in heaven that saves. Now, I wanted to get going there. Man's religion is based on what man does to get salvation. Well, you got to go to church. You got to wear beads and pray with beads and say Hail Mary so many times. You got to have the priest come, and when you die, he has to put the holy, what's the name of that stuff that they put on your tongue last, right? Eucharist, that's it. They got to put that on your tongue, and hopefully that you got it before you died so that you don't have to suffer as long in hell. Or you can get to heaven quicker. Or you got to light candles so that people can pray you out of purgatory to get you to heaven faster. My body says if you're saved, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Roy, a couple, six, 8 weeks ago, when your dear wife took her last breath here on earth, she woke up in heaven.
Amen.
And she was having the time of her life. She was. Now, I want to see her again, not necessarily today, unless Jesus comes back, but I don't mind going by the Undertaker. I don't care to go by the Undertaker.
Amen.
Tearing this pulpit apart. Praise the Lord. Man's religion is based on what man does. We think we got to get baptized, or somebody's got to splash water in our face, or somebody, you have to live a certain amount of good, and hopefully the good outweighs the bad. You can't live enough good because you are sinful. And by the way, even if you could live all the good, you got to have the blood applied for you.
Right.
Now, the resurrection of Jesus makes grace available for all. Romans chapter 4, verse 24 and 25, we won't take time to turn there. It says that by the resurrection, grace was made available to man.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith. Our faith is in the fact that Jesus paid it for us, and that gives us the grace necessary for salvation. Boy, I got to hurry up here. And by the way, I'll say it again. That's why, by the way, I'm not against you wearing crosses and all the other stuff that people do. But may I say this? I think we ought to wear empty tombs. It's not just the death, it's the resurrection.
Amen.
It's not just the cross. It's the resurrection after the cross.
Amen.
It's the whole package deal. My favorite joke. The Catholics are glad that Jesus wasn't stoned to death so they could do this and not go like this. All right? You say, preacher, you shouldn't make fun like that. Okay, don't do it, but I think it's funny. I don't care how many times you do this or do that or whichever way you got to go. One's Orthodox and one's the other way. I don't know which is which. It just doesn't matter. But may I say this? It doesn't matter how many times you pray to Mary. Mary can't save you. Mary can't do anything. Mary was a sinner just like you are.
That's right.
That's man's religion. Well, I got to go to church and I got to do that. No, going to church is something you need so you can grow in the Lord that you may know him and the power of his resurrection, but it doesn't get you saved. Number three, God says when we get saved, we have the same power in us that was the resurrection power. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I love this. If this doesn't make you want to shout, your wood's wet. Amen. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Capital S or small s?
Capital.
That means it's the Holy Spirit. Watch this. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Watch this. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. It was the Holy Spirit of God in Jesus Christ that resurrected him from the dead. Brother Mike, how long ago did you get saved? Just about 30 years ago, an old drunk laying in his own vomit one day, sucking on cigarettes, trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. His body will still die. But watch this. His spirit became alive because the Holy Spirit moved into him.
Yes, sir.
Though the flesh may die, the Spirit quickened or gave life to him. By the way, it is the same Spirit that the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 11, that raised Jesus from the dead. Guess who lives inside you once you get saved? It's the Holy Spirit of God. The moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside you, dwells inside you. By the way, he doesn't make you flip on the floor like a fish out of water and jibber jabber in some unknown tongue and have to have some guy slap you in the head and say, be healed. Okay, none of that mess.
Amen. That's right.
But the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and he is the power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. Every saved human being on the face of this earth, you have the same power that it took to resurrect Jesus from the dead. You have the same power in you, dwelling in you, and the same power that it took to resurrect Jesus from the dead, you have it inside you. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, and he empowers us saved people today.
Yes, sir.
Last Saturday, Brother Stoltz, I went out on the bus route and talked to a fellow down, a friend of one of our bus families. About 55, 56 years old, had a stroke about a year ago. Old Scotty, I looked at him and I said, Doc, I said, are you sure you're going to heaven someday? He said, no, but I'd like to know that. I opened up my Bible, went down the Romans Road, and won Scotty to the Lord.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? He got the same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
And it wasn't me that did it. It's God that did it.
Yes.
I was thinking of Rick the other day. Won Rick to Christ about 5-6 weeks before he went to heaven. He's in heaven today.
Yep.
He now experienced the power of the resurrection. Because the moment he took his last breath here, he woke up in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit is in you if you're saved. By the way, are you yielding to the power? Do you yield to the Holy Spirit and have him guide you and lead you through life? By the way, he's not going to lead you to do something that's contrary to the Word of God, because the Spirit of God and the Word of God work together hand in hand. He can't work against God. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to sell your house, sell your car, quit on everything, and give all your money to the church and just live by faith. That's not faith. That's foolish.
Amen to that one.
Yes.
That's ridiculous. God didn't tell you to do that either.
Yep.
Everybody gets this harebrained idea. Well, my heart tells me I'll do this. Well, your heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it?
That's right.
He will work in accordance with the Word of God. You say, well, you don't want somebody to give money to the church? I want people to do it the right way.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
The resurrection is so powerful that it's still being talked about and still being celebrated today. Do you ever realize how powerful that is? How powerful does it take for something to last 2,000 years? People are still getting saved, seeing resurrection power. Everybody ready to have a spell? Say, how do you know it's resurrection power, Brother Harry? Guess what? My Bible says someday, coming really soon, there's going to be a trumpet sound.
Amen.
Jesus could come back and take the saints with him.
Yes, sir.
Bible says that the dead in Christ shall
rise
first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together and meet him in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. That's called a resurrection.
Amen.
The rapture is a resurrection. And the only people that are going to go in the resurrection at the rapture are those that have been saved. Say why? Because the Holy Spirit was in them, and that is the same power that it took to resurrect Jesus from the dead. Well, it just doesn't make sense to the world. It's not going to make sense to the world because they're lost on their way to hell.
That's right.
If they get saved and the Holy Spirit moves inside, it'll begin to make sense to them.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? At the rapture, we're all resurrected. You say, well, I didn't die. You're going to die and resurrect all in one shot. Amen? And you say, you mean I'm actually going to die? It's going to happen so fast you won't feel it. Don't worry about it.
Yep.
You see, you have inside you the hope of glory, the Holy Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead. And at the moment of the rapture, we're up. If you die before the rapture takes place, guess what? The grave's going to kick open and you're going to go up first. Say why? Because you got 6 feet farther to go. But we're going to get there. You say, what is that? Because the Holy Spirit that was sealed in us at the day of salvation? Huh. Now watch this. That means every Christian has the same power available to them that was available to Jesus to resurrect him from the dead. Rhonda, we were talking about Parker going around inviting everybody to church. Can I tell you something? Say, why do you do that? Because we got the power of the Holy Ghost in us. We have resurrection power available to us.
And a child's just got enough faith to believe it and go forward. Amen. They haven't been cut down by the sin like we have. We don't. They don't doubt their own ability. They don't care. And there's nothing more bold than a child. Trust me. Sometimes they're too bold. One of my kids was at the barber shop. One of my boys. Barber started smoking a cigarette while he cut my son's hair. My son looked at him and said, "Smoking's bad. You're going to go to hell." I never saw a man almost swallow a cigarette because of a four-year-old, but he did. He was, pum, 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 pum. He said, "You better hope not. You better go talk to your dad." He said, "I did." I got the witness to my barber, amen. I ended up winning him to Christ over that. Not that day, but a little bit later. Say, what was that? That child didn't give a flip. My poor wife, she used to hate to take the kids shopping. Oh, she'd take some, and that was the days where it wasn't illegal to smoke indoors, you know. And they'd be sitting in the cart, she's pushing the cart, and this guy's got, you know, tattoos up one arm and down the other, and looked like he ate a grizzly bear for breakfast. And he's looking at my son, looking at him with a cigarette hanging up. "Smoking's bad. You're going to go to hell." Oh, my soul. My poor little wife's got to talk to that guy then. She came back. She said, "Honey, can you tell these boys not to say that in public?" Oh, it was great. You say, why is that? They haven't been tainted by the world.
Yep.
Not afraid of it. The power of his resurrection. Oh, the world will talk about the resurrection of Jesus. And by the way, I didn't say it all day, and I was proud of myself, but I'm going to say it in closing. The Catholics got it wrong. There's no such thing as Good Friday. There's not 3 days and three nights between Friday and Sunday. It's impossible. I'm not against you celebrating Good Friday. I did. I had a hamburger. oh, my soul. Can I tell you something? All those things were nailed to the cross. Colossians chapter 2, all the holy days, the Passovers, all the sacrifices, those were nailed to the cross. That's why the Lord's Supper was initiated the night before Calvary. He said, because I'm going to fulfill all that, and we'll start something else. It's why we don't have sacrifices. It's why we don't have Passover. All that was nailed to the cross and fulfilled by Jesus at Calvary and the resurrection.
Amen.
And the resurrection. Now watch this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I'm not saying it's wrong to celebrate Easter. I'm not saying it's sinful. I will say it's wrong, and I will say it's sinful if you miss church to do it. That shouldn't bother you. You're here. Brother Stoltz had a kid come to the door today and say, "I'm not going to church. It's Easter. I'm celebrating Easter." I thought, how sad. We don't even know what it's about anymore. We can have Easter every day, though, because we know the power of his resurrection. Man in this building yesterday walked up and said, "Pastor, what you doing special for Easter for your church?" I said, "Nothing." He looked at me. I said, "Every Sunday's Easter around here." I said, "We celebrate it 52 weeks a year."
Yes.
He just looked at me. Didn't know how to take it. It's okay. Say, why? I'd rather have it 52 weeks a year rather than once a year. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? If you are, you have the same power in you that it took to resurrect Jesus from the dead. Why is it so hard to live the Christian life then? If you're not saved, let me tell you something. You can have that power available to you. So all you have to do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Realize you're a sinner on your way to hell because you're a sinner. And that Jesus paid that price for you. And that you've got to trust him and him alone to take you to heaven. That's what gets you to heaven. It's not being at church. Not some ritual. Not something that we do. It's trusting Jesus as your Savior. That we may know him and the power of his resurrection. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die"? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Is there? And I appreciate your honesty. Who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure, but I'd like to know that someday"? Not call you by name. Won't call you out. Would you say, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know it, but I'd like to know it someday"? Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, "Preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed. I needed that today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens and dozens of hands.